Please bow your heads with me in a word of prayer. Holy Spirit, wash over us. Flood our hearts and minds, our whole lives, that we may be wholly yours. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so last week we were talking about Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived. And this week, there is a whole lot of lack of wisdom in what we read. And it starts with exactly the opposite of what Solomon said the beginning of wisdom was. He said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of the wisdom. He says in Proverbs 9:10, he says, seek the Lord's counsel and follow God's word. Seek the Lord's counsel and follow God's word. Our story this week with these two characters, the Bohems, Jeroboam and Rehoboam, our story begins with Rehoboam seeking counsel. Did you catch this? All right? Jeroboam has come with his people. Jeroboam has been promised the kingdom. He tried to take it right away. It didn't work out so well. He flees to Egypt. He comes back to Israel. He comes to Rehoboam. Just as Rehoboam is made king, he comes with all of the people and he says, Rehoboam, we're tired of working all the time. Your father made us work so hard and he taxed us so much that we need some rest. Please give us some rest and then we will serve you forever. And Rehoboam says, I got to think about this. My question to you is, does Rehoboam already know what he wants to do? I think he does. I think the story tells us that Rehoboam already knows what he wants to do with Jeroboam and his folks that want to take a little break here. And I think also that Rehoboam has got his focus on something that I often get mine on as well. It starts a little bit like this. If I am to lead this people, how am I going to do that? And, even more so, what will these people think of me if? Boy, if I could tell you how many times in my life I've said the words, what will he or she or these people or they think of me if? If I had a dime for every one of those, we'd be very wealthy people. Rehoboam, that's where he starts. That's what he asks. That's when he seeks counsel. When he seeks counsel, he gets two pieces of advice. One of them says, listen to the people. Serve them in this way right now, and they'll serve you forever. The other one says, your father was powerful, you be more powerful. Show them who's boss. Well, we don't see those two types of leadership at all in our world today, do we? Because that's what it is. It's two different pictures of leadership. One that says, if you are a servant, the people will serve you. One that says, if you want the people to serve you, you better be stronger. And Rehoboam is caught up wondering, what will the people think of me if? And as he answers that, it becomes very clear he's not going to let them tell him how to lead. No, if I let them tell me how to lead, then I will not be a leader. They will be the leader. That's his mindset. It's a faulty mindset. It's one that I think we've all been in at some point. And Rehoboam is there today. He starts down a path immediately that splits things up, that separates the kingdom. As he says, you thought you had it bad then under my father, just wait. He's nothing compared to what I'm going to do to you. And so they leave. We want nothing to do with you anymore. And they leave, and it splits. And the deterioration of decision after decision after decision from this point forward is not good. There's one good king in all of this story, right? Asa, who comes back and says, we need to listen to the Lord. We need to stop following all of these other paths. And he tries for a while to bring the people back, but it doesn't last. It doesn't last because it's a picture of us. But underneath all of this mess, underneath all of this division, underneath all of this unrest, all of these poor decisions, all of this poor leadership, and it's not even underneath, it's actually over all of it, is a God at work. A God who continues to call them. A God who continues to speak. A God who continues to raise up prophets and people and new kings and new leaders. And always with the same word, follow me, follow me, follow me. I have life. I have life to give. Why is it so difficult for us to hear that word? Come to me and have life. Follow me. Listen to my word. I think that first and foremost, the difficulty I have with this is that it's not the advice I want. It seems like a long path to what I want now. So what we see in the story of Jeroboam and Rehoboam plays itself out in me. For just a moment, before we talk about how this connects to our baptism, listen to a couple of the Proverbs of Solomon that we had from last week. First one, very clear. Very clear picture of what this whole problem. Proverbs 14:12. Solomon writes, "There is a way that seems right to a person, but in the end, it leads to death." There is a way that seems right to a person, but in the end, it leads to death. Boy, I could not pick a better proverb to describe what you see play itself out in the kingdoms of Israel and Judah and in my own life. Because I look at what I'm trying to do, and they did as well, and they say, I know how to get this done. There's a way that seems right, and in the end, what does it end up with? Death. Instead, Solomon would advise, Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Trust in the Lord. Lean not on your own understanding. There is a way that seems right to us, but in the end it leads to death. So think about that when we come to this story of Jesus being baptized. Jesus, who knows no sin, is baptized with us who know only sin. Jesus comes and takes upon Himself our sin. He will talk about it this way for the rest of the Gospels. I have a baptism to be baptized with, and what distress I am under until it is complete. That's not just having some water sprinkled on him. He knows what that water, what that word, what that process is. It is death and resurrection. When we come to baptism, it is the same. It is death and resurrection. It says, what I am, I can no longer be. Make me new. And so as we wash our hands and face and remember our baptism, we say, what I have been, I can no longer be. Make me new. And God's promise, just like God was over the top of all of that mess in Israel and Judah, God's promise is over the top of all of the mess in your life. And he says, trust me. I am at work. Follow me. Listen for me. Don't lean on your own understanding. Trust my word. Trust my word. We say, how can I do that? I know who I am. I know what I've done. I know what I haven't done. I know how I've messed it up. I know where I've gone wrong. I know what I'm about. I know what I want next. This is what I know. How can I trust you? Because what God says doesn't make any sense, does it? To a person like me that is full of sin, how can it be that God says, you are forgiven. You are my child. You are beloved. In you I am well pleased. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. You see, because at the heart of my story, it is not because of what I've done, but because of what he's done. Because of who Jesus is, I am. Because of who Jesus is, I am. Because Jesus entered into baptism, came into relationship with us. Because Jesus took upon himself my sins and yours. Because Jesus died and rose. Because Jesus forgives. Because Jesus lives. I am what? I am his child. I am beloved. I am forgiven. I am free. I am alive. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And he will. In fact, he has made your path straight. Because of Jesus, we are. Amen.